You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Well, it is so good to be here. I've got to say, with the reception and the dinner, I think this is about the wildest Friday night I've had in 20 years, so we're really grateful for that. This is me getting out, so thank you. And it is just such a gift to play a small role in an event that I think just brings together the ministry that 1517 and the Cathedral Church of the Advent share, which is to minister the word that gives Jesus to a weary and worn out world. And I'm thankful for the ministry of 1517, for each of you, for the Cathedral Church of the Advent, and I'm almost finished. Those are the things you need to know. But I've got to say, I'm fairly disappointed. I really thought I had encountered the right way into this devotion, and more than that, basically a clear path for the rest of my life. And it was so close, but then it didn't quite come together. So I'm going to go a different way, but let me just share the disappointment with you slightly. I'm not going to tell you the backstory. I'll let you imagine why this is true, but it is true that I've become familiar recently with a particular brand of skincare. And the first product that I became familiar with is specifically a cream that has as its target audience the skin under the neck. And the name of this cream is When Hope Is Not Enough. And I found that refreshingly honest about the human condition. So I was already intrigued, I was already a little in with this particular brand. And then the very next product I discover, so right when and where hope was not enough, I discover their next product. It's called Grace. And I thought, there's nothing else. I'm all in, I'm buying shares, I'm sort of career change, everything. But then I read the small print on the Grace lotion. And this was their definition of grace. And this is when it all fell apart. Grace! Life is a classroom. Every day, you get either a passing or failing grade on one particular subject. Grace. I purchased When Hope Is Not Enough, and I started the talk over again. So, I just needed to share that with you. It doesn't really relate to what I have to talk about. It almost did, but he'll ask me to talk for 20 minutes, and I only had a 10-minute devotion, so I needed a story to get us going. But instead of that, which would have been, I think we can agree, a really good way into this talk, which I may have sneakily made the way into this talk, you can tell, because I've been talking about it for 3 minutes, I've decided to take a much less promising approach. That was going to be good. This, I'm not sure, is going to work. My favorite 20th century poet, W.H. Auden, wrote an extremely unapproachable play called The Sea and the Mirror. And I think it's got something to say, but I'm not yet sure if I know how to tell you that. So let's find out. This play has as its premise that a drama company has just completed a production of Shakespeare's play The Tempest. And what the poem is all the actors are still in character, but after the play, they start talking to each other, they give speeches, and they address the audience. And this conceit, this premise, is part of Auden's way of analyzing the human condition. A lot of what passes for human living is actually just acting. It's performing. It's wearing a mask. It's speaking our lines. It's posing. But it's also denying and distracting and refusing to see, to hear, to face what's actually real. And Auden's great hope with this poem, The Sea in the Mirror, is that the poem itself might, in some ironic way, be a work of art that actually takes the mask off and lets us see what life is really like. What we find when the mask comes off, and if there's anything to say when it does, well, I'll come back to that in just a second. But the way Auden describes this life with the mask on, life is a play, He says, life is a dream in search of grace. And I don't think he means that grace that you get a passing or failing grade. I think he means something else. But before we hear what he means, this idea that encounters with something takes the mask off, ends the masquerade, brings the play to an end, got me thinking about what happens when Jesus shows up. The theme of this conference, as I understand it, is unexpected epiphanies when Jesus shows up, especially in the Old Testament. But you may know that Jesus also shows up sometimes in the New Testament. And I thought I would take it as my special privilege to just say something about that. And one of the things I started noticing when I started thinking about it with this poem is every time Jesus shows up and encounters a person, there's a miracle that happens that I think we don't even notice. There's the miracles we do notice, calming storms and casting out demons and raising the dead and healing the sick. There's what I think we don't notice. Every time Jesus interacts with a human being, he actually gets to, makes contact with, relates to that real human being. He gets behind the mask. The play comes to an end. And Jesus sees and stays and speaks to a real human being. Somehow his presence, his person, his power, his parables are this gentle but mighty wind that just blow our costumes away. And then dealing with the real person. Well, what happens then? And I see one place you see this, an unexpected epiphany, you might say, is in Revelation chapter 5. Jesus shows up, maybe when you're not expecting him to. In Revelation chapter 4, God is on God's throne and God is being worshipped. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. In Revelation 5, that same God is seated on his throne and he's holding a scroll in his right hand. And a strong angel comes and in a loud voice says, "Who is worthy to come and take the scroll?" And the seer in Revelation says, "And we looked. We looked in heaven. We looked on the earth. We looked under the earth. And there was not a single creature in all creation that was worthy to come and take the scroll." And John says, "And I began to weep because no one was worthy." The play just ended. The mask came off, and there was an honest look at what is real. We are not God who is on the throne. We may spend our lives looking in heaven and earth and under the earth for some way to make us worthy. But when someone actually gets to the real us, we hear the truth. And it can make us weep. What Auden says happens when the mask comes off is we find out what's actually true. We all need pardon. We act and we are anxious. We are lonely, and we fear we can never be loved. And then he asks, is there a music that could explain it all and forgive it all? And it sits there as a question. And I think we're at exactly that moment of honest asking in Revelation 5 when John is weeping. But what happens then? John is weeping. And he says, an elder, a creature that lives before the throne of God only to worship, and yet is still unworthy. That elder says to John, as John is weeping in Revelation, "Weep no more, but behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of Jesse, is conquered." And he follows that finger, a lot like the finger of John the Baptist, or the finger of anyone who's ministering the good news. "Weep no more, behold the Lion," he says, "and I looked, and behold, I saw a lamb standing as if he had been slain." And all the unworthy creatures in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, he said, sang a new song. They were unworthy, but their song is, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. For by his blood he has purchased for God a people from every tribe, from every language, from every people, and from every nation." And they sing to the Lamb the same song that was sung to God in the tomb: Holy, holy, holy. From weeping and unworthy to worshiping because of the Lamb who was slain. What happens when the mask comes off, when the play stops, is that we see the truth. It can be a time for tears, but it's also the time and the place where we can actually hear the music and the mercy and the name that actually can pardon and forgive. Auden asked that question on behalf of the anxious and the acting and the lonely. It's this beautiful answer in which he says, we stop uttering our lines as the incorrigible actors we are. He says, we dismiss our hired impersonators. And instead, for the first time in our lives, we hear the real word. And then we get to hear it in the poem. It's so beautiful. It says, to the lonely, it says, I am here. To the anxious, it says, all is well. You know what else that real word says? To the weary, to the heavy laden, to the worn out, to those of us who are looking for some way to be worthy and trying to carry that ourselves, it takes the weight of that off of our shoulders, as that Lamb who was slain says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This music of mercy is so sweet. God loves you so much that he will get to, deal with, know, speak with you. He's not interested in your mask or your makeup. He doesn't care if hope is not enough. He will bring the play to an end. And sometimes this hurts. Struck by a line by Oscar Wilde, he says, how else but through a broken heart can Lord Christ enter in? And I think when the mask comes off, sometimes our hearts crack a little bit. But I think those cracks are the very paths that God with love takes into our lives. And it means when God says in Jesus' name, I love you, he's not talking to the actor. He is talking to you. This love sees, this love stays, and this love doesn't stop. So hear what that love is saying to you right now. Come unto me if you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because I see you, I understand you, I know you. And nothing and no one in all creation may be worthy, but nothing and no one in all creation can separate you from the love I have for you in Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.